We got an email asking, how does one go about creating and broadcasting a podcast of their own? Good question, and to answer it, I'll take you through our process. First, we go through the newspaper.
I made a hat with mine.
Ooh, that's pretty. Now, hold it out with your finger.
Like this? Ouch.
Then we feed Harvey 5 bowls of super sugar crisp soaked in coffee to get him really wired. He comes up with his best ideas that way.
This week, fun facts about Canada. What? Canada is not a state. Canada is not a state!
A rabbi is then brought in to bless the typewriter that we make Space Monkey write the script on.
Hey, mister, I think the propeller's missing from your beanie. I'll go look for it.
But we don't use typewriters anymore.
Well, don't tell Space Monkey that. Then we add 3 teaspoons of bacon grease, just to annoy the rabbi.
Oy, gewalt!
Finally, we give the scripts to Scott, who applies his William S. Burroughs cut-and-paste expertise to the script to arrange it into unrecognizable forms. Once we've posted the podcast to the site, Lawrence Simon finally comes up with an idea.
I-M-A-O.
Starring the bloggers of www.imao.us. Frank J.
I think this is ripe for the monkeys to take over.
Sarah K.
It's called personality.
Harvey.
So I'm a bearded weirdo, is that what you're trying to say?
Right Wing Duck.
I broke the law, please protect me.
Cadet Happy.
You know what would have made that movie better? More dismemberment.
And Space Monkey.
You just can't make a funny movie anymore without Rob Schneider.
Featuring Lawrence Simon. This IMAO podcast is brought to you by ThoseShirts.com, the makers of official IMAO t-shirts. ThoseShirts.com, effing the ineffable since 1991. The IMAO podcast theme music by Seattle-based artist Alaco. Alaco Music, www.aalacho.com.
So what is the story of Frank J? You could say I got my sense of humor from my father. He used to tease me a lot as a kid. I hate him. About 3 years ago, I created the blog IMAO as an outlet for all the humor boiling inside me. Eventually, I got tired of blogging, but, you know, the money was too good, so I couldn't stop. Thus, I just made it a group blog. I found a few schmoes who would work for the false promise of eventual pay, who would put in moderately funny material in between my genius posts. It ended up being a bad idea, but I can't get rid of them now. I'm even engaged to one. Thus, I had to become a leader. Because without a leader, people just do what they want. And that is unacceptable. If you asked me to define leadership, I'd whap you in the face with a copy of Merriam-Webster's Collegiate Dictionary and say, "Hey, look under L, moron." Recently, Scott came to me with the idea of doing a podcast, and I was like, hey, why not? I was simply too ashamed to admit I didn't know what a podcast is. I still don't. Well, anyways, here I am, Frank J.
They want to stand before the cameras and explain it all away. They want to represent the wealthy and famous. They are the Spin Doctors. For 10 weeks, they'll have to be Spin Doctors for this man.
Contestant 1.
I'm Rocco. I work for the Ma. I mean some legitimate business people. So, when people make mistakes, I know how to hide the evidence. I mean, you know, smooth things over a bit. In the end, you'll see me beat everybody and get hired.
At the banquet to honor the president of the NAACP, DNC Chair Howard Dean outraged the African-American community.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's give it up for the DNC Chair Howard Dean.
Ha ha ha! What's up, niggas? Oh.
Where you at?
Rocco, is there any explanation for Mr. Howard Dean tonight?
Well, he was trying to identify the African-American community. You know, something Republicans like Condoleezza Rice could never do.
He wants to identify with the community? He was wearing blackface.
Well, screw this, I quit. I'm going back to the mob, more predictable.
Spin, coming this Thursday.
Sarah Kay, and I'm the cutest of all the IMAO podcast members. I'm a blonde from Texas, and I sing really good.
I'm such a great singer! Yeehaw!
See? Told ya. I tried out for American Idol, but they said they already had a cute blonde girl who sang country, and she won. That title should have been mine! But anyway, I already won, because I'm the IMAO t-shirt babe. And there's only one of those. Ever.
Well, actually, we might...
Ever! I'm good at other stuff, too. Like shooting and cooking and looking pretty. And there was this one time I was indicted for beating a man to death in Lubbock, Texas. But they had to throw out the evidence because of improper handling. Yay! I guess that's all there is to know about me. I like purple. Now you know about me and I don't want to know about you.
Yeehaw.
Welcome to Fun Facts About the 50 States. I'm your host, Harvey, and week by week, I'll be taking you on a tour around this great nation of ours, providing you with interesting yet completely useless and probably untrue information about each of the 50 states. This week, grab your surfboard because we're headed to the shores of sunny California, so let's get started. California is a large state on the western coast of the U.S., which is inhabited by people who snuck into the state and live off the hard-earned money of the working class, or, as the locals refer to them, actors. The main export of California is fine wine, which is quite similar to French wine, except that it's less cowardly and annoying. California requires that all cars sold in the state run on a special, environmentally friendly fuel composed of 50% gasoline and 50% tofu. California used to be covered by thick forests of giant redwood trees, but these have all been cut down to make nightsticks for beating black motorists. The state motto of California is Eureka, a Greek word meaning dude. More turkeys are raised in California than in any other state, and most of them get released from Hollywood during the summer. Californians can easily be identified by their deep golden tans and fake green cards. The average earthquake in California only lasts about 10 seconds. Coincidentally, that's the same amount of time between the beginning of a typical Michael Moore movie and the time someone yells, "This sucks!" California recently legalized the use of marijuana for medicinal purposes. Research is currently underway to investigate any possible healing powers possessed by hookers. I'll be back with more fun facts after this.
It's Frank J. from IMAO with a public service announcement. In the interest of safety, do not touch my stuff. Thank you.
Now, more fun facts about California. Even though it's only a single state, California has the seventh largest economy in the world, 90% of which comes from the sale of breast implants. Many people hope that California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger will run for president someday, but unfortunately, the Constitution specifically forbids the election of people who are unable to pronounce the word California. Luckily, there are no such restrictions for nuclear. Ronald Reagan was elected to two terms as governor of California in exchange for his promise not to make a sequel to Bedtime for Bonzo. California is impervious to terrorist attacks because the noxious fumes from the hippies quickly render them unconscious. In 1906, the city of San Francisco was razed to the ground by fires and earthquakes. Fortunately, the local homosexual population was able to queer-eye it back together in a matter of days. Fallbrook, California is known as the avocado capital of the world, a fact about which nobody outside the city gives a damn. California is famous for its many elite golf courses, including Palm Springs, Pebble Beach, and No Blacks or Women. The first person to receive a star on Hollywood's Walk of Fame was Joanne Woodward in 1960. The last person was SpongeBob SquarePants. Pauly Shore is still waiting. Well, that wraps up the California edition of Fun Facts About the 50 States. Next week, we'll be heading into the Rocky Mountains of Colorado. Now, if you'll excuse me, I'm going to go watch a Michael Moore movie. This sucks!
Hello, I'm Right Wing Dog, and I'd like to share a little bit about myself with you. Some of you may know I'm Mexican-American. I come from a small family. I only had one sister and 79 cousins. I was born in Los Angeles. At least that's what I tell people because that birth certificate looks so realistic. People ask me, "Duck, does your family get offended that you make so many Mexican jokes?" I say, "No." I tell my mom about the jokes I make and she says, "You know what, mijo? Tell them about the time we snuck over your cousin Isela when she pretended to be your sister." A few days after my high school graduation, I joined the United States Army. The Army assigned me to West Germany, where for the first time in my life, I saw snow. You want funny? Watch a Mexican who's never seen snow walk down a street trying to duck out of the way of the snowflakes. My number one goal in life is to make you laugh. I want you to laugh and think at the same time. That's what I really want. My second choice is to make you think about laughing. That's me, Right Wing Duck.
We'll be right back.
Welcome to American Monkey. This is Space Monkey. This week, we have a farm report. The sheep are in the meadow. Sheep futures are mixed due to the uncertainty over the possible loss of sheep, offset against the likely increase in mutton and wool quality and quantity due to expanded grazing. The cows are in the corn. As a result, corn futures are up sharply and cow futures are down roughly an equivalent amount. Authorities say an apparently sleepy male of short stature wearing denim carrying a brass wind instrument was last seen near the hay. He is wanted in connection to the sheep, meadows, cows, and corn situation. If he is sighted sleeping, approach with caution is recommended due to his emotional instability. That wraps up the farm report. Next time on American Monkey, more of the same or something entirely different.
Reviews are outstanding with Sarah K. A phony moon landing is my topic today. Yeehaw!
Hi, I'm Sarah K., and reviews are fun. Today we're going to talk about my trip to the Kennedy Space Center. I went with Frank and Biker Mommy and Pappy, and it was fun. Yay!
It was certainly edgy.
It was all hooey. See, Frank was all interested in rockets and spaceships and space monkeys, but all I wanted to know was where did they fake the moon landing?
Actually, sweetie,
this is my review. Anyway, they took us into the studio where they did just that. That's right, faked the moon landing, and I got the proof on camera. That guy Neil Armstrong, he was a robot, I kid you not.
See, it was just a presentation.
And I saw the fake control room, too.
It was all a show where...
That's right, it was all a show, and they were able to redo it exactly the same for us as they did it 30 years before.
It was 36 years, but...
Faked it 36 years ago. See, normally, fake stuff gets you laughed at. One time, I had this fake Dooney and Burke purse, and they laughed at me, and they were ugly. But NASA faked something, and suddenly Kennedy's a hero forever.
I'd really like to say something at this point, see?
Don't go faking moon landings. Have a good week. Yeehaw.
Hi, I'm Space Monkey. You may remember me from classic after-school specials such as Why Does Bob's Dad Live in an Underground Bunker? And From My Cold Dead Hands. And Them There's Fighting Words. And of course, the anti-cholesterol PSA. I'm eating gravy and you can't stop me. But now, as my career is in its final stage of decline, here I am making appearances on the IMAO.us blog and podcast as I work through my community service requirement for, well, let's not get into the details, let's just say it involved some poo, me forgetting just briefly I'm not actually a monkey, and someone who unfortunately turned out to be a judge. I grew up in a nice little country community in Alabama, where everybody knew everybody. In fact, everybody waved at everybody. Strangers, however, are shot on sight. I've since moved away to the city, but I still miss the little country town. And I'd love to go back, but I'm afraid I'll run into somebody who doesn't remember me. Well, now you know me a little bit better. I'm still Space Monkey.
It's Frank J. once again with World of Knowledge, a segment where I share my knowledge with you because I like to hear myself talk. Today I'm going to talk about chemistry, which I hate because it's just stupid. I mean, you combine this gas that's poisonous with this metal that explodes in contact with air, and do you get exploding poisonous gases, you'd think? No, you get table salt. And when you combine this gas that fuels fire with a gas that causes fire to explode, you'd think you get like this super combustible fuel, but instead, you get water which puts out fire. I mean, it doesn't even make any sense. I mean, how in the world are you going to figure this stuff out? It's stupid, and someone's going to change it. But not me, I'm busy. Stupid science. Anyway, this is Frank J., and now, you're just a little bit smarter.
I'm Kevin, aka Cadet Happy. I do all the pictures and graphics. Frank says he hates me because he says I try to make him look gay in those pictures. But I'll let you in on a little secret. I don't have to try at all.
Frank is gay.
Hi, this is Sarah Kay with a response to that previous public service announcement. I'll touch your stuff if it's ugly and needs to be hidden. Thank you.
A lot of people have been asking, say, who is that Harvey guy anyway? I'll answer that question by giving you a list of words that I frequently use to describe myself. 38, married, childless, dog owner, cat owner, homeowner, Wisconsinite. Also, I recently asked the IMAO editorial staff for a list of words they would use to describe me, and in alphabetical order, they are blasphemous, boorish, crude, discourteous, harsh, ill-bred, impertinent, impolite, inconsiderate, indecent, indelicate, indiscreet, inept, insensitive, insolent, rash, rude, stupid, thoughtless, uncivil, uncouth, undiplomatic, unfeeling, unkind, unsubtle, unsympathetic, untactful, unthinking, and vulgar. I had to leave a few out since this podcast is supposed to be rated PG, but I think that should pretty well answer the question.
Hi there, I'm your friend, Lawrence Simon, and it's time for another crappy bedtime story. This week we're going to enjoy Hansel and Gretel. Hansel and Gretel were skipping through the woods when they came upon a house made of candy. It had gingerbread walls, licorice siding, gumdrop shingles, and chocolate windows.
"That can't possibly be up to code," said Hansel.
"Let's call the county building inspector," said Gretel. So they did, and he arrived with a survey team.
"Thank goodness you kids found this house," he said. "It's not safe for habitation. I pronounce it condemned."
The crew beat the house with sledgehammers until the gingerbread walls cracked, the licorice siding fell off, the gumdrop shingles caved in, and the chocolate windows shattered. Hansel and Gretel helped the crew haul off the rubble, and they stuffed their pockets with it, too. Hansel ended up with type 2 diabetes. He went untreated. He lost a toe, then a foot, and finally the whole leg. Gretel didn't go to the doctor either. Her sugar went way out of control, and she went blind. Pigs. The end. This has been a crappy bedtime story with your friend, Lawrence Simon. Now go to bed!
Scott is the silent partner in this podcast. Though not totally silent, because he does a lot of the voices for our skits, including the Laura Bush voice.
And that creeps me out.
Frank's the old Lord of the Block of Dodecahedron or whatever, but I think Scott's sort of the mastermind behind the IMAO podcast thing.
Yeah, because he's the guy that edits all our skits together without telling us how or why he's doing it.
No, I think Scott's more like a drill instructor. "Do you call that a funny voice, Private Duck? I'll knock you in your modem so hard, your 79 cousins will feel it."
Don't worry, guys. I'm sure this IMAO podcast thing will just produce itself soon and we won't need him.
Oh, sweetie, you're so adorably naive.
Naive enough to know that if we get rid of Scott, I'll split the money with you all six ways rather than seven.
Great!
I think you forgot about me. Lawrence Simon?
You're Jewish, Lair, and you guys already control all of the banks. I knew you didn't need the money.
And you better hope that Scott will edit that part out.
Welcome to Frank Discourse, part of the podcast where we talk about the topics that interest you. Join us today on the round table, our right-wing duck.
I apologize for being here.
Space Monkey.
I'm sorry, right-wing duck apologized.
Harvey!
I'm sorry I'm here.
And Sarah Kay.
I'm not sorry because everyone's here to listen to me.
Our topic today is Karl Rove, evil political mastermind genius. Right after Dick Durbin's Nazi remarks caused him to break down in front of the public and cry like a little girl, Karl Rove, out of left field, or probably right field, this caused outrage among Democrats, liberals, and weenies alike with this statement. Conservatives saw the savagery of 9/11 in the attacks and prepared for war. Liberals saw the savagery of the 9/11 attacks and wanted to prepare indictments and offer therapy and understanding for our attackers.
So, is this a misstep on Karl Rove's part, or is it some new insidious plan of his?
Maybe they're upset that someone else got their feelings hurt and they feel like they need to protect them. Stand up for the little guy, you know.
Well, what's the chance, you think, is... I mean, do the Democrats have any chance to get an apology out of Karl Rove?
We're apologizing for everything, why don't you apologize for not pimping the podcast?
I never apologize for anything. I don't care if you like me. See, that's the thing. You shouldn't care whether people like you, whether you said something right or wrong. Dick Durbin, he apologized because he knew it would work politically. Karl Rove is not going to apologize because it's going to work politically. It's a trap, you idiots.
I think Karl Rove should apologize for saying liberals and not Democrats. He should have just flat out said Democrats.
Good point. He should have been more accurate.
So just another deception from the Bush administration, is that what that was?
This is all, yeah, this is all Karl Rove's big plan. This was a big trap. Liberals ran right into it. I'm getting my talking points for tomorrow, so I got to start blogging. Oh, Harvey, you have something to say?
So my question is IMAO.US a wholly owned subsidiary of Karl Rove Industries?
I don't like to admit to that. I mean, we all get the talking points at the same time. I don't know if there's a reason to label us a subsidiary of Karl Rove Incorporated. But we're definitely, you know, we're one of his tools. We're
puppets.
We're his puppets. We're good puppets. You know, we entertain the children.
So are we puppets or Muppet? Because it makes a difference. Puppets have the little strings on sort of like in Team America. Muppets,
those are marionettes.
You stick your hand up their butt and wave them around.
No, those are marionettes.
Oh, they have the sticks, too.
Puppet, you put your hand up and you think, a marionette, you have strings to do it, and a Muppet is a combination of the two.
No, Muppets have those metal rods to move their hands around.
Well, it's kind of like a marionette thing there. Yeah, that's all.
No, marionettes have strings. You're so insane.
Yeah, marionettes have strings.
I'm sorry I called you insane.
Puppets?
I'm sorry I called you
insane. Quit apologizing!
We got to understand what puppets are. This is important. It's a combination. That's where the word comes from. It's a combination of marionette and puppet.
I'm sure he has actually researched this. Just say okay, or we'll have to listen to him explain it. I mean, my mom, we came home from Epcot the other day, and my mom had to make sure the first thing he did was get up and search about nurse sharks and whether they are dangerous to humans, because he and my mom couldn't agree on it. So he had to prove her wrong, which he did.
When I say something, it's true. Yeah, whatever. Because now we can talk about all those statements, which are tons of them, about liberals, you know, hating America, hating the war.
I just thought it was great how Rami was on all the news programs pointing out exactly what liberals were saying it. They were trying to get him to apologize for Karl Rove, and he was saying he wasn't talking about Democrats, he was talking about MoveOn.org.
Yeah, the increasingly ironically named MoveOn.org. Could any liberals see this suspicious? I mean, how often are Karl Rove's statements in the news? And right after the Dick Durbin thing, he's in the news. I mean, isn't this shout, something's peculiar here. We should approach with caution. But no, they're all like, apologize or resign. It's all we got the White House like, no. And then Pataki's like coming out. Well, oh, this coming from all the people who didn't care about what Durbin said or what Harry Reid said. Why are we going to apologize? And so we get to repeat everything Democrats have said that is stupid. Is genius. He is an evil genius.
Well, is Rove going to get blamed for everything now? I mean, War of the Worlds didn't make $1 billion its first weekend. Is this going to be Karl Rove's fault? I mean,
it is Karl Rove.
This is Karl Rove. What about War of the Worlds?
I don't think War of the Worlds is out yet.
It's Karl Rove's fault. It's not out yet. He's trying to block it because of Scientology.
And I want to know, with Batman Returns, they couldn't get Michael Keaton back to play Batman. Was that Karl Rove's fault? I blame him.
Batman Begins.
No, Batman Returns. Batman Returns.
Batman Begins? I'm sorry.
Oh, Batman Begins, yeah.
That was really good.
So what do you think is his evil purpose in all this? I mean, what is he going to, in the end, he come out with this statement, all the liberals and Democrats are up in arms. What do you think is like the end game here? What's going to happen? Okay.
He dared get more airplay for those quotes of those liberals. How dare he? I thought Dean wanted the liberal message to get out. And Karl Rove's helping out there.
Well, Dean's... Well, that's one thing. Is like New York Times, it never reports verbatim the Dean quotes. It didn't report the Dick Durbin stuff, but it's all over the Karl Rove thing. I wonder why that would be.
It's about the presidential run. It's all about saying, hey, you know what? I was attacking these liberals long before anyone else was. I don't know. George Bush called him the architect. You can't get a higher recommendation than that.
Oh, so you think he's going to run?
Hey, you never know.
Oh, Karl Rove would never run. He's the mastermind. He's the guy in the back.
He's behind. Yeah, he's the behind the curtain guy.
He's the puppet master.
Wait, did you say Karl Rove was the architect? Wasn't he in that one Matrix movie?
Oh yeah, I remember that. Karl Rove.
The architect, the guy that looked like Colonel Sanders.
Yeah, I'll tell you. Colonel Sanders was behind the whole machine. What was up with that? Karl Rove. We'll have us all in pods. Supplying battery power for machines in some weird, convoluted... That doesn't make any sense. Why do you have to put us in some sort of dream world to get battery power from us? Matrix were the dumbest movies ever. I just realized that now.
Here's my take on it. You know, if you look at that, first you had Dick Durbin going out there and mouthing off, calling all the troops Nazis and stormtroopers and Darth Vader and whatnot. And then Karl Rove issues this statement. He makes them go crazy again. When you hear the Democrats go,
you just hear it a background noise. So something's going to get dropped very soon. Blather.
You said, beep, 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 beep.
Do that that's again, my direct.
That's my direct quote.
It's a good imitation. You have too many liberals together, and that's what it sounds like. It's like, or just like.
Actually, it sounds more like a band of demons.
I think no Rove, you know, in the background, you'll hear a band of demons whenever he's around.
I think it might not. Remember those little screaming, flying things that attack the Millennium Falcon inside the asteroid? That's what I think.
That's exactly that. You should push that forward, Minox. There.
And Frank knows what they're called, and that makes me sad.
We just watched the movie, sweetie.
I've already forgotten it.
Dork. Hey, so I got a question. Was Karl Rove responsible for Anakin Skywalker turning to the dark side?
Karl Rove invented the dark side.
Absolutely.
It has to be something like that. That's what Karl Rove's end game.
Okay. How about this? Sometimes maybe there is a plan. Like, first you have Voinovich sitting up there crying. Then he makes Durbin cry. So then he says, okay, let's see what I can make squeal next. So he goes out there and he says, you guys want everybody to have therapy. And then, of course, everybody goes back, you know, and protests and demands therapy. No therapy for oil. No therapy for oil.
Okay, if it's true, name one time liberals have asked for therapy for the terrorists. That was complete hyperbole akin to things that Goebbels would do.
But, you know, it doesn't have to be
accurate. Sorry, I take that back. I shouldn't have compared him to a Nazi. I did that. That was overblown, and I'm sorry.
Now you're apologizing. Keep crying.
I'm sorry. Sometimes I just get carried away on these roundtables. I want to impress people. But,
shut up!
I think people that apologize are sorry.
This was Frank Discourse. Goodbye!
IMEO.us.
It's time once again for the IMEO mailbag. Steve Laverne from Malvern, Arkansas writes, I resent Harvey saying that the Clinton Presidential Library looks like a wet cigar. That is an insult to those of us who live in Arkansas. It actually looks like a house trailer up on blocks. Yes, Steve, that does seem to be the consensus. Well, certainly not a Frank Lloyd Wright design. George writes, well, we know you have a Mexican on the blog, but what about OTMs? Anyone we should watch out for? Well, George, I assume OTM means other than Mexican. And the other than Mexican you should watch out for, I'd say, would be Lawrence Simon, who's now joined the podcast. He's probably part of the Zionist conspiracy and wants to control everything, as does all Jews. Wait, the Jew behind me holding a gun to my head says we should all love Lawrence Simon and accept whatever he says. So forget that. If you'd like your 15 seconds of fame and have your email read on the podcast, just send your questions or comments to podcast@imao.us. That's podcast@imao.us. Please include your name and town, and the best email each week wins a free IMAO t-shirt. Oh, that reminds me. Here's this week's winner. Ravi and Brian write, what the hell are you saying at the end of the podcast? The part that says, and remember, something, something, something. Me and my friend played it backwards. It sounds like you're saying Inglewood November Week, but that's just us. Well, Ravi and Brian, I have no idea what you're talking about, but you still win the t-shirt. That's it for podcast number 5. And remember,
be on the ball. Warning,